It can get pretty hard to keep track of all the environmental lawsuits filed over the uses of various rivers. There is potentially one less lawsuit to keep track of now that there's a settlement between the Karuk Tribe and Klamath Riverkeeper on one side and the Montague Water Conservation District on the other over the use of the Shasta River. By the numbers, the settlement might actually not change much in the amount of water users get from the Shasta River, which rises in Siskiyou County and ends in Siskiyou County, emptying into the Klamath River. Craig Tucker is the Klamath coordinator for the Karuk Tribe and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange once again. Craig, good to hear from you.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good morning.
So tell us about what makes the Shasta River itself so important. This is not a huge river by any stretch of the imagination, but apparently a critical one.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks who are not salmon experts may look at the Shasta River and think, how could this possibly be, you know, a really important salmon stream, because it's just not that big. But the fact is it represents some of the best salmon habitat in the entire Klamath Basin, and that's because there are numerous springs throughout the Shasta Valley, and these springs run year-round, and they deliver water that's cold, about 18 degrees Celsius, which turns out to be the optimal growing temperature for salmon. And so particularly in drought years like this, when a lot of rivers and a lot of our tributaries will be dry or nearly dry, you can depend on the Shasta to be wet and keep having that cold, clean, good quality water. And that's one of the reasons why the Shasta is such a fundamentally important salmon producer for the Klamath Basin.
So, and give us some history here then on the usage of Shasta River water. Are there lots of entities in addition to the Montague Water Conservation District pulling water out of the Shasta?
Yeah, I mean, the Shasta, like a lot of the streams in these areas, the valleys were converted for agricultural use, and that's cattle grazing and growing alfalfa mainly. And so folks have, diked and diverted the main stem of the Shasta, as well as the creeks that feed the Shasta River. And it's been to the detriment of salmon since that's happened, and it's really caused species such as coho salmon to become endangered.
So give us the specifics of your beef and therefore lawsuit. They were against the Montague Water Conservation District, right?
Yeah, so the Montague Water Conservation District own and operate Dwinnell Dam on the Shasta River, and the dam was built in 1926, and the dam diverts water through an irrigation canal that's about 25 miles long out to the community of Montague for irrigation purposes. And since the dam was built, it virtually diverts the entire Shasta River, and so no water has been released into the river channel below the dam. And so below the dam, you know, what you would see in the river would just be accretions from, you know, other little creeks and springs. And so coho salmon were added to the endangered species list in 1997, and we felt that because the Shasta is habitat for coho, that the operation of Dwinnell Dam constituted an illegal take of that species, and Montague had no permits or any other permissions from federal agencies to take this this threatened species.
Let me make sure I understand this, though, but you're saying that the primarily all of the flow of the Shasta River ended up in the Dwinnell Reservoir?
The flow ended up in the reservoir, and then the reservoir diverted into an irrigation canal. So the entire flow of the river was being diverted into an irrigation canal and dewatering the main stem of the river.
So were there periods, for example, in dry summers when there really would be no Shasta River?
Well, that whole valley, it's a volcanic terrain out there. And so the reservoir leaks profusely, and there are numerous springs in the area. So the Shasta River was never really bone dry, but it would be reduced to a real trickle in reaches of it before, additional springs or additional creeks would rewater the main stem. So even below the dam, it would stay wet, but that's just from the seeps and leaks through the dam. But the overwhelming majority of the water was being diverted to the irrigation canal.
Given the history then, though, if you're talking about Dwinnell Dam being there since 1926, I mean, it seems like a lot of the damage might have already been done. I mean, are there numbers that indicate that there were coho salmon there and that there is a potential for recovery here?
Well, there's still salmon there. There's still coho there, and we do think there's a potential for recovery. You know, one of the great stories in the Klamath has been the Nature Conservancy acquiring the Big Springs Ranch, and so this is downstream of Dwinelle Dam. There's a very large spring that feeds the rivers, about 200 CFS springs. This is a, if you ever go out to Big Springs Ranch, the spring bubbles up into a pool that's maybe, I don't know, maybe 30 yards in diameter. It's just a giant amount of water just bubbling up out of the ground that's cold and clean and great for growing salmon. In that place, they had diverted a lot of that water for growing pasture, and cows are grazing in the area. Well, Nature Conservancy has acquired that piece of property. They've excluded the cows out of the creek there and started managing it. Not only, they still grow cows out there, but they now manage it in a way that's good for fish as well. And so that's a major step forward in recovering salmon species in the Klamath, in the Shasta River, and we think what we've achieved with working with Montague Water Conservation District around Dwinelle Dam adds to that.
Craig Tucker is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the Klamath River Coordinator for the Karuk Tribe, and we're talking about a recently settled lawsuit between the tribe and Klamath Riverkeeper on one side and the Montague Water Conservation District on the other over flows in the Shasta River. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Craig, were there attempts at negotiation before you took the MCSD to court, MWCD to court?
Well, there weren't really any negotiations around how to manage, you know, Dwinelle Dam. It was really amazing to us when we found that, you know, there's this relatively large dam operating on a stream that's designated as critical habitat for an endangered species that really had no rules. There were no rules about how much water had to be left in the river or when it would have to be left there. And so, you know, we felt like it was an obvious choice for us for litigation, because there were just really no rules or no real paperwork that dictated how this dam had to be operated, and it's such a critical place for ESA-listed coho that we just felt like we really had to take the step to file litigation.
Did litigation ever actually get to a hearing? I mean, was there actual time spent in court, or was it just at the paperwork level of briefs being filed, et cetera?
Well, we started filing briefs, and then we were urged to attempt to negotiate the outcome without actually going before a judge. So we actually worked with a magistrate who basically acted as a facilitator to help broker a settlement. And that's what happened. It took us a little over a year. But in the end, you know, we applied some modeling techniques. We can actually model the way, you know, using computer models, all the water that comes into the reservoir and how it's left and how it leaves the reservoir and how it's managed. And through doing that, we landed on a management plan that puts significant amount of water in the river for fish. And in dry years, that's about 2,250 acre-feet. In the wetter years, it could be as much as 10,000 acre-feet. And that's an annual volume of water that could be used in river for fish. But by managing the reservoir differently, we can still make sure that irrigators out in Montague receive irrigation deliveries that are pretty consistent with what they've seen in the past. So we really view this as a win-win. And in this case, we've, just through better management, have dramatically improved the lot for fish without having a dramatic impact on farmers and ranchers.
With the 2,250 acre feet you just mentioned, that really isn't that far from the existing number, which is 2,500, isn't it?
No, currently the amount of water that the river sees is just a couple of hundred acre feet, if any, depending on the year. Montague diverts 20,500 for irrigation purposes. So even under this scenario, farmers and ranchers are still getting the majority of the Shasta River, and fish are getting less than 10% of the water, even under this improved scenario.
All right, so 2,250 is the figure of acre feet that goes, I'm sorry, now is that down the river or is that to the irrigators?
So in the driest of years, you get 2,250 acre-feet of water down the river. And in the wettest of years, we'll see about 10,000 acre-feet of water going down the river for fish. But on average, the irrigators have diverted about 20,000 acre-feet of water in the past, and that'll continue in the future. The big difference is how much water we'll leave stored in the reservoir at the end of the summer. So in the past, the reservoir has ended, on average, with about 11,000 acre-feet in it. Under our proposal, the reservoir will end with about 4,000 acre-feet in it in most years. So it's really the difference of how much water we leave in the reservoir at the end of the year that provides for flows for fish.
Again, Craig Tucker, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Klamath Coordinator for the Karuk Tribe. We're talking about allocations of water in the Shasta River. So you mentioned that even in dry years, there'll be water in the river. But are the dry years going to impact the irrigators more?
Well, the dry years are tough for everybody. I mean, there's no way around that. This year is a great case in point. I'm sure the irrigators probably, I'm sure they won't get as much water as they would like to have in a year like this. But, you know, that would be the case whether or not, you know, fish were getting anything. It's just when drought hits us, we're all beholden to Mother Nature, fish and farmers alike. The other thing I'd point out and emphasize is that this flow arrangement we've negotiated with Montague is temporary. It lasts until Montague actually gets incidental take permit. So the Endangered Species Act has a provision in it that if you're engaged in some sort of activity that could kill a listed species, you can go to the managing agency and apply for a permit. And the permit sets about conditions that you have to operate under to mitigate or avoid the incidental take or killing of the listed species.
So incidental take could really almost be called accidental take. It's just you
don't... Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so by this time next year, Montague will have to apply for these permits from federal agencies, and they'll have to describe in detail how they want to operate their irrigation infrastructure, and the agencies will tell them what actions or mitigation measures they will have to take to avoid accidental killing of endangered coho.
Now, Craig, is there an ongoing backdrop here? Because we've talked in previous programs about allocations of water and establishment of water rights on the Shasta and Scott Rivers. Is that still going on in the backdrop while this settlement is taking place?
Yeah, well, understand that both the Scott and the Shasta, you know, we would argue that outside of the Trinity, which is the Klamath's largest tributary, the Scott and the Shasta are probably the two most important from the perspective of fish. The character of these two rivers are such that they are prime time habitat for spawning and rearing for salmon. And this is coho salmon as well as Chinook salmon. Both the Scott and the Shasta are what we call fully appropriated sub-basins, and that means all the water rights have already been granted. You can't file for an additional water right on the Scott and the Shasta. They're fully appropriated. We would argue that they're over-appropriated, that the state gave away too much water to too many people, and it's not sustainable anymore. And so it's these are legal diversions in so much as they're water rights granted by the state, but they leave the rivers unable to provide habitat for fish, and we would argue there are other laws that are designed to protect fisheries that should require more water be left in the river.
So this agreement then, this settlement with the Montague Water Conservation District between them and you at the Karuk Tribe and the Klamath Riverkeeper, this is just one aspect. This is a multi-stage play, evidently, where you've really got to, you're dealing still with other water rights along that very same stream.
Absolutely, and there are other other landowners operating in the Shasta who we believe have responsibilities that are yet to be fulfilled to essentially do their part to also avoid this sort of accidental take of coho. So we think that everybody who's diverting water in the Shasta Basin should be part of a management plan to mitigate impacts. And because we're really on the verge of losing coho salmon in the Scott and the Shasta rivers. I mean, the populations, they fluctuate somewhat, but in some years, you can count the total number of returning fish numbers, just in a couple of dozen fish. And so, we really are sort of teetering on the brink of extinction in these two watersheds. And so if we don't do something now, they're going to be gone forever.
Craig Tucker, again, the Klamath coordinator for the Karuk Tribe, joining us on the Jefferson Exchange to talk about a lawsuit settlement with the Montague Water Conservation District over allocations of water in the Shasta River. This is obviously not the last time we'll be talking about watershed allocations in the Shasta or any other river. Craig, thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thanks a whole lot, and we'll be joining all the rest of your listeners and hoping that we get rain very soon.